Great job. All right. Put that one here. Do that. Okay. All right. Well, it's almost Christmas. It's almost Christmas 2021. We're getting ahead of things here. Nope, a couple more days. Well, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. So, if you don't have your presents, you got. I think Walmart's open all night Christmas Eve, so there's still a chance. Okay, they close at 6 on Christmas Eve. There's not a chance. All right. Well, this evening we're gonna do one more Christmas sermon in all this series here. And it's a little bit different in that, you know, Christmas is typically a joyous time and typically a merry time and all that kind of thing. And but it may not be that for everybody. I know there are probably people in the hospital who will spend the Christmas in the hospital. There are people that have lost loved ones that will be looking at empty seats at Christmas. And so tonight I want to give you a little bit of comfort and just deal with maybe some real practical things about, I know this time of year can really, for a lot of people it's really happy, for a lot of people it's just really tough. So I'm going to take you through a few verses in the Bible. And it's more of a topical study, not study, but just encouragement, help maybe, and deal with some Christmas grief. And I don't mean to put a damper on your Christmas, but eventually it will be something we all deal with. And so, that being said, I'm going to read you something that doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas grief or anything. But Spy Magazine put out in 1990 some scientific analysis of Santa and, you know, if he makes it through and delivers all the presents and all that kind of thing. And, you know, what is the physics behind all that? And Will, you'll probably like this, so. They said in Spy Magazine, Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with. Thanks to the different time zones, assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. All right, this is back in 1990. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. This is to say that for each house, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. A total trip of 75.5 million miles, not counting stops to do what most of us must do at least once every 31 hours, plus feeding and etc. This means that Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. The payload on the sleigh adds another interesting element, assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, about 2 pounds. The sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons of payload here. On land, conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds, even granting that flying reindeer could pull 10 times the normal amount. We cannot do the job with 8 or even 9 reindeer. We need 214,200 reindeer. This increases the payload, not even counting the weight of the sleigh, to 355,430 tons. 353,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance. the lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second. In short, they will burst into flame almost instantaneously and create deafening sonic booms in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to centrifugal forces 17,500 times greater than gravity. A 250-pound Santa, which seems ludicrously slim, would be pinned to the back of his sleigh by 4,315,015 pounds of force. For some folks, it can be a time of intense... No, never mind. That's something else. So, in short, they say, with all that, Merry Christmas. All right, so there's Spy Mag. That was in 1990, so that's 30 years ago now. They put all that together. So, anyhow, all right, let's look at the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and look at some things about handling and dealing with grief. And I really, you know, doing something like this, what we're going to talk about this evening, I don't really feel qualified to talk about stuff like this, but I know it's in the Bible. I know Jesus Christ is a comfort, and the Bible talks about God wiping away all tears at some point in time in the future. And grief is a, if you're saved, grief is a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll start here. And the first thing I think you ought to think about, you know, if this season brings back memories or it's just tough to get through it, there's some expectations. There's some expectations. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible says, this is Solomon, and he says this. He says, there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. It goes through, there's 28 seasons and all that, but a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Let's pray, and we'll talk about maybe some grief at this time of year. Father, I pray you'd help us. I don't mean to dampen the spirit or anything like that, but just really address things that are realities for lots of people, lots of folks at this time, and people looking at empty seats, or even, like I said, spending Christmas in the hospital, or just dealing with things that we don't want to think about having to deal with. Can be an incredible joyful time right now, or for some, an incredibly painful time. And I pray that you'd minister to those folks and help us get through these, what you said about grief and what you said about sorrow and how we could handle it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so expectations. The first thing that you can find out or learn in going through and dealing with grief in the Bible, there's a lot of it in the Bible. It is all through the Bible, and it is temporary. If you're a saved child of God, it's a temporary thing. Solomon here says that there's a proper time for it. I mean, there is a real time for it. And so the expectations, number one, you could say, since there is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Accepting grief is a reality. There's an appropriate time for it. And so it is a reality. It's not something that is. I think sometimes we have these expectations that I'm supposed to live at this emotional level my whole life. I'm supposed to have these sort of happy feelings. And if I don't have these happy feelings, then I'm somehow messed up or something like that. But the reality is grief is real. And Solomon said there's a time to mourn. There's a time for it. and understand also, if there's a time for it, that there's a time frame for it. There's a season of it. The Bible says of Jesus Christ that he wept. He wept when Lazarus was dead and Mary and Martha were really getting on to him for not being around when Lazarus died, and they were sad, and he saw them sad, and he just thinking about the whole situation, and the Bible says Jesus wept. And so God manifest in the flesh, God in the flesh cried tears for someone who had died. God in the flesh was grief-stricken. He was pained. He was a man of sorrows, the Bible says. And I mean, even in the Bible, you have an entire book called Lamentations. It's Jeremiah looking over a city and just being completely distraught about what the relationship of his people to God had become, and it was just a mess. And so the first thing to think about in this, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4, is expectations. I think people, when the expectations are off, then that's when you get really maybe depressed or just over grieved, or you have these expectations that are not realistic. And God is, I don't want to say great at giving realistic expectations. God is realistic expectations. I mean, what he says is they are realistic expectations. So number one, the expectations of grief. You can accept grief as a reality. Jesus Christ grieved multiple times. It's all through the Bible, and it's not an uncommon thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a normal thing. So it's reality. And because it's a reality, here's a couple of thoughts on that. Because it's a reality, and because you know that it's a seasonal reality, you can make preparations for it. You make some preparations for it. Since these feelings can be seasonal, particularly this time, you can make some preparations for it. You can decide how you want to spend the holidays. You can decide how you don't want to spend the holidays. Some people won't want to do anything because that's what they don't want to do. They just don't want to think about certain things. So you can make preparations, and that's good. If there's it's expected, you know what you're coming up against, you can make some preparations. You can plan to fill, for instance, I think about this. I remember years ago, more than 20 years ago, but I remember driving around in Corpus. It was like Christmas Eve, something like that. And I was driving on Ocean Drive, and Christmas Eve, and it was in the evening, and there wasn't very many people on the street at all. And there happened to be, I don't know, one other car. And this person was, I mean, they're driving Ocean Drive there, and they lost control of their car, and they plowed into a palm tree. And I don't remember if the car flipped over or what happened, but I remember I was there, and I drove over there and to see if they were all right, and I don't think we had cell phones then or anything like that. You just try to find somebody to get a hold of the police or something like that. And eventually they all came, ambulance came, but they were trapped in their car, and they were in pain and scared to death and all that kind of thing. And I remember going away thinking that this person's entire Christmas has changed. Whatever it was, it's not what it was going to be now. And so they're getting ready to head to the hospital and all that kind of thing. And so it just made me think, and I thought about it lately. Last few years, there's been folks that have lost family members, and I think, you know, people during this time, folks during this time, they will be looking at empty seats at the table and sad, and it's just not something we want to think about, but something eventually we'll all think about, and we'll just have to think about it. But because it's seasonal, there's some advantages to that. You can plan to fill empty roles. If there's maybe somebody that you used to do certain things at this time, or play certain roles, or, you know, you can address that how you need to address it and deal with it how you need to deal with it. Again, since it's seasonal, you can set some boundaries for family and friends, and you don't have to feel guilty about that. Let me give you a verse. It's not wrong to set boundaries for family and friends. It's not wrong to do that. It's okay to say no to people. Let me give you a verse. Look in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17. I'm dealing with some expectations here. You know, here's the season. You can make some plans. You can make some preparations for this time. You can set some boundaries. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17. The Bible says, "Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." You know what that means? That means don't wear out your welcome. That means it's a real possibility that you could spend so much time in someone else's business they get tired of you being in their business. Or, on the other hand, that means that if you don't want people in your business because you just don't feel like dealing with the stuff that goes on with the holidays, it's okay to say, no, I don't want to do anything. I don't feel like going out. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. And there's no reason to feel guilty about it. It's a real life issue, real life thing to deal with. So set boundaries. Set boundaries for friends, for family, and you don't have to feel guilty about that. And then another thing, as far as expectations go, if you're someone that's grieving and dealing with loss during this time, you understand other people are going to enjoy this time, and that's not personal. That's not against you, and it's not dishonoring the person that's lost. It's not dishonoring them. Other people are going to enjoy this time just like you've enjoyed this time before in previous years. You've enjoyed it. Just consider maybe the real reason that we're getting together, reason for the season, but consider that Jesus Christ came into the world and saved sinners, and consider some things about Jesus Christ. And then here's another thought that goes along with that. You know, other people are going to enjoy this time. The Bible says envy is the rottenness of bones. When people, and if you have a tendency to look at other folks and say, why am I in this position and they're in that position, it is extremely unhealthy. It's extremely unhealthy. And so along with those things, because other people are going to enjoy this time, and it's not wrong for them to enjoy the time, if you choose, for instance, if you choose to maybe share the burdens that you have, just understand this. Please understand this. Other people aren't going to carry the burdens, your burdens, the same way you do. And so other people are going to say things that are going to hurt your feelings, probably. They'll probably say things that hurt your feelings, and they don't mean to. They're trying to be a help, but they're not being a help, you know. Maybe it's like Job's friends, you know, they just start talking, and that was the problem. They just started talking, and that became the problem. But just understand, the burdens you carry, other people are not going to be able to carry them the way you do. And so they may say things trying to help you out or trying to be a help, but it may come across as maybe uncaring, or they don't love you, or they're dishonoring some memory or something like that. Understand, if you have these expectations, you understand, look, if I choose to tell people what I'm carrying around, other people are not going to carry it the same way I do. So that's something to just understand that. So there's some expectations. And then here's another thing. Those are just some expectations for this holiday season when you deal with grief. Because grief is a seasonal thing, and I'm not just talking about Christmas season, that's just where we're at right now, but because it comes in waves and you just, maybe certain things just spark the memory and it's just like, you just go into this funk, you know, because you just see something or you hear something or you smell something, it just sparks a memory and it just makes it all that more painful. Because these things are seasonal and they come and go, let the grief be in its season. I don't know how else to say this, but don't extend the season, I guess you could say. Don't drag it out. Because there's ways to take grief and drag it out more than the seasonal time. there's ways to take sorrow and multiply it where it doesn't need to be multiplied. I'll give you a couple of examples. When people choose to drink their sorrows away, that kind of numbs them for a little bit, but what it does eventually is it just multiplies the sorrow. It drags it out. Proverbs, I'll just read this one to you. It says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. One of the questions was, who has sorrow? Somebody is, they're temporarily numbing their minds. When they get out of that, they've extended the season of sorrow is what they've done. So there's ways to multiply your sorrows. You multiply them by trying to drown them out. You can multiply them by maybe isolation And I don't want to sound contradictory, but sometimes you don't need to be around people, and sometimes you do need to be around people. Sometimes you need to be out, and you need to think about other people, and you don't need to be inside thinking about me and why me all the time. So be aware of isolation and depression. That kind of stuff is that multiplies sorrows. Here's what he says in Ecclesiastes. Let's look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There's a lot of this stuff in Ecclesiastes. It's just a real down to earth, so to speak, book here. Deals with things people deal with in the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So sometimes you don't need company, and sometimes you do need company. Sometimes you need to, that isolation hurts you, and be aware of that. That can multiply your sorrow, sitting around in a dark house and just whatever it is you're doing, getting more depressed. That can hurt you. So be aware of isolation. And then this is a thought that goes along with multiplying sorrows. In the holiday season, Christmas particularly, since that's where we are, there's probably some things that remind you of people that aren't there anymore. And you are under no obligation to take out objects that remind you of or bring painful memories back. You don't have to take out objects to honor people's memory. And I'll tell you what, as a Christian, you understand. If you're saved, you understand this. People who have died that are in Christ, they don't care about their honor here. They're not thinking about how they're being honored here. The only one that's dealing with that pain is you and me. And so we're not, just understand and maybe take the burden off your shoulders. You're not obligated to take out things and objects that remind you and bring back pain just so you can honor someone's memory. You don't have to do that. The only one that cares about, put it this way, I guess, the only one that cares about honoring the memory right now would be you. Because the person that's gone to heaven doesn't care about that. They're not thinking about that. So you're not obligated to bring out painful memories. I give you this verse in Ecclesiastes. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. So you got some expectations that you can deal with, or some things maybe you could deal with, and expectations. And then there's some ways or warnings that against multiplying the sorrow. Here's one way is you take out these painful memories just to honor a person, and you're just like, it's just too much. It's just, you don't have to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Now watch this. "Also their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Now I understand that's sort of just a carnal, worldly view of life in this world. But there's truth in that, in this, that a person who's gone on to be with the Lord, they really don't care about their honor. They really don't care about the memories or the trouble and all those things. So just understand, you're not dishonoring, or you're just not obligated to bring out painful memories if it's just too much to bring out. You understand, I think everybody in here is saved. You understand if you've lost someone that's with the Lord, they're certainly not thinking about that. They really don't care about that. So all that said, there's just a few things about this time of year. Generally, you know, it's a happy time and a joyous time and all that, but anytime you have heightened emotions, both ways. You got increased joy. You've also got, in some places, just increased sorrow and grief. And so hopefully some of these verses you can think about. And if you're somebody who's going through grief, here's some expectations. Here's some ways to avoid multiplying that grief. And if you're not someone who's dealing with grief, you will be at some point in time. You just will be. And but I don't want to end it on a sad note. Look in Revelation chapter 21. We'll end it here. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. The first thing we read in Ecclesiastes was there's a time to weep. There's a time to mourn. That means there's a time frame. There's a season of that, which means that's temporary. That's not life. But in Jesus Christ, this is what you have to look forward to. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Amen to that. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Amen to that. You know what grief is and sorrow is, and it's temporary. It's just temporary. It's seasonal, and in Jesus Christ, it has an end. It has an expiration date, and so it's not something that's going to last forever. And because it's not something that's going to last forever, let's not multiply it, and maybe have some expectations, And I hope that in the future, when I deal with this, and when maybe you haven't dealt with this now, maybe we can remember these things, or maybe presently you're dealing with some of these things. And I really hope this is a help. I really do. I hope it's a help to you. And so just remember, God will wipe away all tears. That's the future of life in Christ. So let's pray, and we'll take prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Maybe not the normal Christmas message and all that, but I just really, really get concerned about folks that are dealing with some of the grief and sorrow at this time of year. I pray that you minister these words and maybe help somebody that's dealing with this right now. And then for those that aren't, that we'd remember these things. We'd remember what kind of expectations we need to have, and maybe put some boundaries in place and not multiply the sorrows since they are seasonal. I pray that you would encourage each and every soul here. Thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you that you provide hope, Lord, that we have a future to look forward to, and time when there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, none of those things. Thank you, Lord, for all those promises and all of that future reality in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.